action, adventure. A Harry Potter fic written by Lalayandra and read by Sylvain. The prefects from each year and the entire coterie of 7th years were arrayed in the Slytherin common room punctually at 7:30 on Tuesday morning. Draco Malfoy only donned his house coat and one slipper, but he was there. Soft snores sounded in the dim light of the dungeon. There was no talking, just the rhythmic sounds of coffee inhalation and teeth grinding. At exactly 7:32, Theodore Nott tapped the face of his pocket watch and declared, "Either Snape's dead, or he's switched sides again." Draco was startled out of his light drowse. Not everyone here knew about all that. Even with only half a cup of coffee and 4 hours of sleep, he managed to cram more disdain into his tone than McGonagall contemplating sexual congress. "Yes, we did." Philomena Crumpet sat up straighter in the voluptuous straw-leather armchair that made his slight, fifth-year form seem even tinier. "We live here too, you know." Blaise lifted his head out of Draco's lap and peered around the room. "Snape's either dead, or he's switched sides again." Draco looked down at him, caressed the black curls laying against the boy's forehead, and sighed. "We covered that already." He tugged at the hair hard enough to make Blaise shoot out of his reclining position, glaring. "So, who has the best plan for what to do if Snape doesn't make one of the house meetings?" Pansy stood with a commanding air only seen by her fellow Slytherins. A couple of the younger students stuck up their hands rapidly. "Bryony," Pansy called out to the sixth-year prefect. "We search for the body, hide it, transfigure it into a gingersnap, and feed it to one of the owls in the rookery." Her high, sweet voice was delightfully set against the ruthlessness of her scheme. Draco approved. Good breeding. Blaise wondered who was that good at transfiguration. Theodore didn't want to go on a wild dragon chase after Snape's possibly still living body. "How do we locate him?" Theodore knew very well, but it was his job to make sure the younger students did as well. "Homing spell!" The room rung with the words. Even Draco muttered them. They set to it. Well, they found a couple of promising 5th years and set them to it, while the rest had coffee and discussed setting up a committee to plough through the cabinet of plans, plot, and schemes. Without Snape there to keep a lid on the high spirits, ambition could easily flow out of the dungeon and snare the rest of the school. "Parvati, do you notice anything odd this morning?" Hermione glanced at her sometimes friend. Harry and Ron were late, as per usual, and would probably miss breakfast altogether. Or she would have asked them. "Oh, Padma said you couldn't really tell just by looking at someone," Parvati gibbered with a face in her hands. Hermione looked at her and blinked. She was so accustomed to this sort of reaction that she immediately knew that they were having two very different conversations. "I hesitate to ask, but what are you talking about?" "I told Terry to only put it halfway in, because that wouldn't count as doing it, but he said he slipped and then in for nut, in for gallon, right?" Parvati was looking at her anxiously, wanting reassurance. A year before, Hermione would have blushed at the implications of Parvati's comments, but she'd had far too many similar ones with females in her acquaintance. Hogwarts really needed a comprehensive sex ed program not set in place before the discovery of the new world. "Why would you think halfway in wasn't..." Hermione took a deep breath, because she knew better than to look for logic from Parvati. "Halfway isn't all the way, it's only part of the way." Parvati's tears dried up, and she looked completely convinced of her reasoning. With this salvo, Hermione was distracted into trying to, 1, convince Parvati she was daft, 2, find out if she even knew that birth control existed, and 3, explain that if they were in love, then there was nothing wrong with being intimate, even all the way. Even if they weren't in love, but just thought they were, nothing wrong with a bit of experimentation, right? Hopefully. Thusly were the Gryffindors distracted until well into the first class session, from discovering that all the adults were missing from Hogwarts. It was still Hermione who figured it out. Meanwhile, the Slytherins launched several ambitious plans. Blaise made the house elves bring them scones and cream puffs for breakfast instead of oatmeal and sausages, a right capital idea at that. Theodore changed the Quidditch schedule so that Slytherin always got the pitch for practice. Draco didn't bother to keep track of what everyone else was doing. Hopefully someone remembered to check Dumbledore's office and make sure that he was gone as well. Draco had his doubts that all the adults disappearing was anything but Dumbledore's plot to make the Slytherins somehow look bad again. Draco set himself to acquiring more minions than he'd had previously. The best way to do this, he reasoned, was to cross houses. And the best house in which to find minions was the same as the best house in which to find slutty witches and wizards who would suck you off inside the Quidditch shed and not care if you never talked to them again. Not that Draco had ever allowed something like that to happen. Still, he approached the sixty Hufflepuff prefect casually and offered his alliance. "When everyone realizes that the adults are actually gone for good," said Draco, "the Hufflepuffs will need protecting. With Slytherin House running the school, we're in a prime position to make sure that no one else takes advantage of you." Jeremiah Engleframe Widnes was skeptical. "What makes you think Slytherin House will be running the school?" he asked, his mouth full of cream puff. Draco rolled his eyes. "Who else is going to do it? Do you trust the Gryffindors to run the school? Do you trust the Ravenclaws?" Draco stopped before he asked, "Do you trust the Slytherins?" mostly because the answer would probably be no. Rightly so. Of course, if the Slytherins could be trusted, there wouldn't be a reason for them to run the school. That made sense in Draco's head. "That's a good point," said Jeremiah. "The Ravenclaws only make alliances that will benefit them." "That's because they're clever," said Draco. "All Slytherin House wants is to make sure the Hufflepuffs are protected." "That's awfully nice of you, Draco," said Jeremiah, finishing his cream puff in one large bite. Draco winced inwardly. "Yes, I'm very nice," Draco said as earnestly as he could. Which wasn't very earnest at all, but Jeremiah was focused on the smooth cream and crisp, flaky pastry and not really paying attention. That was how the Hufflepuffs found themselves to be the minions of the Slytherins before the first class had even begun. By the end of the first class, they were enjoying themselves greatly, as the Slytherins didn't actually want anything from them. If the Hufflepuffs were smarter, they would have realized that the Slytherins would be using them, eventually, as soldiers in a war of practical jokes and careless hexes. But, of course, Hufflepuffs are tenacious and loyal, not smart. They make up for their tiny brains by being very good at giving head. Hermione tried to talk to Harry about all the adults being missing. "Harry, I think we need a plan."
"I have a plan," said Harry. "I'm going to kill Voldemort!"
Ron's face tightened in pain.
"Please don't say things like that," he said. "Sorry, mate. I'm going to kill you-know-who," said Harry.
Hermione rolled her eyes. "Be serious! This is the problem. If we don't come up with a plan, we're going to end up the servants of the Slytherins."
"That would never happen," said Harry. "They're too stupid."
"It's already happened to the Hufflepuffs. I won't let it happen to us."
"Hey, do you think this is a Slytherin plan?" said Ron.
"What do you mean?" asked Harry. "You mean that the Slytherins killed all the professors and Dumbledore? Do you think I'm next? This is just an evil plot to kill me!"
The last sentence was howled to the sky.
Hermione closed her eyes and let her head fall back against the stone of the castle. They were doomed. The end.